Welcome to TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Bumpenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. In tonight's second segment, we're going to talk to Clint and Jeffrey. We're going to discuss some of the changes coming to Super Dirt Week next year with the Silver Crown cars going back to the Moody Mile. And also Troy Hennig to talk about the new agreement over at the Silver Dollar Speedway. My first guest has been tearing up the West Coast midget racing scene. 13 wins so far this season. Ronnie Gardner, thank you for taking time out to join us tonight.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Well, first off, you've had a tremendous season in the midget car ranks. You've had a lot of wins on the West Coast and have put together a really solid season. How did you get involved with midget car racing out there on the West Coast?
Well, I mean, I started my career driving sprint cars out here with CRA and ran, you know, family-owned stuff for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and then kind of ran out of money, so started running, you know, hit and miss shows with different teams. And beginning of last season, I really had nothing going on, and it's kind of a funny story because I was at like a season beginning party thing with Matt Mitchell at his shop and just hanging out, and one of his crew guys, Mitchell Johnson, had just purchased a midget. And he was going to run Nick Foss in a few shows and, you know, hit or miss with Robbie Josette. And he was talking to me saying, you know, there was a couple shows coming up that he wanted to run, but they weren't available to race. And so we kind of got to talking. And then 2 weeks later, he hit me up again, and we ended up going out to Ventura and running well. And ever since then, I've been, you know, driving his midget out here with the Western States and VRA stuff. So that's kind of how it got started. I was never really a big midget guy, even though, you know, I work at Esslinger Engineering and it's pretty much all midgets, but I grew up around sprint cars, so driving a midget was pretty cool.
And you seem to have adapted to it very well, obviously, from the results. What about your driving style do you think fits the midget car so well?
You know, I've been asked that question quite a bit, and the first thing I kind of jumped to is, you know, learning sprint cars, you know, you got a lot of power. You got 800 plus horsepower and, you know, a big rear tire, and you can kind of put that thing anywhere you want on the racetrack, and, you know, it's not going to pull the motor down. But I've always, like, my driving style is a lot straighter, and, you know, so I think that kind of helps me in a midget, because, you know, no matter where you go in a midget, it's pretty much a momentum game, because, you know, you got, your car weighs 900 pounds, but you only got 370 horsepower. So I think that's a big part of it. And I've always liked my race car to drive off the left rear tire more than the right rear tire. And that it's kind of the same thing. A midget drives a lot off the left rear tire more than the right rear tire because of the offset in the engine and that kind of stuff. So I would say, you know, if I had to answer that question, that would be my answer, those two things.
I think that's a great description from Ronnie Gardner, who has a huge race coming up this week, the Turkey Night Grand Prix. You're going to get the USAT guys on your home turf. And what does that mean to you with these big teams coming in? You have the Keith Coons team and all these people coming in. You know, do you prepare any differently for this week more than you would with the longer race and the competition, not just from the national regulars, but several invaders coming in as well?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of something we look forward to all year. I know last year we went into Turkey Night and we kind of weren't prepared for, you know, the amount of competition that was going to show up. And, you know, we were successful at the end of last year, but we go to Turkey Night and, you know, we struggle quite a bit. So this year, we ran quite a few shows, probably, you know, 22 to 25. I don't know what the exact number is, but, even though we've won quite a bit this year, our mindset has been to, you know, like, get outside our box, like, try some stuff, you know, because we know when those guys come out here, you know, the stuff we did out here to win races is probably not going to, you know, cut it to run up front with those guys. And last week at Canyon was a real eye-opener, too. You know, we got there and, you know, we had high hopes and, you know, had some bad luck the first couple nights, and we were a little bit off on the race car, but, you know, we improved all weekend long and ended up coming out Saturday with a pretty decent finish. And you know, we're looking forward to Turkey Night, and the competition. I always love it when we get some new guys and different guys around the Western States, just so, you know, we get to run against different cars, because we know when those national guys come out, it's a whole different ball game. Those guys are definitely good at what they do, and you know, you basically got to hit your race car perfect, and the driver's got to be right on. You got to have a little bit of luck to even run the top five with those guys. So, you know, we're looking forward to it, and I've got a lot of laps around Paris. Not quite that many with the midget, but I know the racetrack pretty well, and I think that's going to be a little bit of an advantage too.
How differently do you have to approach the Turkey Night feature itself, being a little bit longer distance race?
Well, I mean, you kind of got to think ahead, really. You know, if you're good at the beginning, you're not going to be good at the end. So, you know, you got to look at the racetrack and what's it doing, and what's it going to be like, you know, after 98 laps with 30 cars on the racetrack. And, you know, you got a lot more fuel in the car, and that's going to change the way it drives at the beginning, towards the end, it's going to, burn off, and that's going to change the car. So, and then physically, you know, it's a long race. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, demanding on the drivers too. So, I mean, the goal is to qualify up front. So, you know, we can just put ourselves in a position to be, you know, in contention to win at the end.
And you mentioned you work at Esslinger Engineering, and there's been a lot said about the health of midget racing in some areas. It seems to be going real well. Other areas, it does struggle a little bit. You're kind of on the front lines, being, I know your company that you work for offers a couple of different engine packages that are a little more affordable for people. What do you think of the health of midget car racing right now?
You know, I mean, this year I feel like midgets have grown a little bit, you know. I mean, the last couple of years, you know, even the big shows, you'd get, you know, 15, 20 cars. And I really think Power Eyes kind of helped that out too, because, you know, they run on a lot smaller racetrack. So it's really gotten a lot more people into it, because they know that they can go buy an engine and run, you know, 35, 40 shows a year and not have to compete, like, financially in the whole, you know, the engine package part of it, and they can go out there and get something that runs decent and can be competitive. But even on the USAC side, like out here, I feel like, you know, we've grown a little bit, even though the car counts don't really show it too much. There's a lot more interest in it just because of Turkey Night and you know, Chili Bowl, in my opinion, is what keeps midget racing going as a whole, because, you know, everybody wants to go there. But as far as the health of it, I mean, there's a lot of politics involved in midget racing right now, and I think that's hurting it. But hopefully, you know, everybody can get on the same page, and we can move forward on trying to grow all the series across the country.
And one thing about the Chili Bowls, we're starting to see a lot of specialty-built equipment that shows up once a year that might not be might not pass tech at a Power Eye race or a USAC race or whatnot. How do you feel about that when the most, high-profile midget race, there's a lot of one-off equipment showing up there? Should they maybe tighten the rule book up a little bit, or are you okay with the one-off cars?
You know, I'm kind of on the ropes about that, just because, I mean, from a competitive standpoint, you know, it kind of hurts the Chili Bowl a little bit, knowing that you got to build a car to go there, and, you know, one-off car to go there and, you know, have a chance to win. You know, it's like Swindells and Bondio, they've kind of been doing that for the last 5 or 6, you know, 10 years. And, you know, if you get your car close, you can run with those guys. But now you got, you know, 10 or 15 of them doing it. And, I mean, just look at Keith Coons, you know. He left Chili Bowl last year and said that, you know, he wasn't going to show up there the next year with a car that wasn't just purposely built for that. And I also think that makes it cool as a fan standpoint, because there's always really cool race cars and stuff to look at, you know. People can go outside their box as far as design and stuff. And I know before I was into midget racing, that was always a really cool part of it, is walking through the pits and just looking like at the Bondio car or at the Swindell car and stuff like that. But I mean, moving forward, you know, it could get out of control as far as money goes. And, you know, that never helps any kind of race or sanctioning body in any form of racing. So, I mean, it's hard to say if I have, like, an exact opinion on it, but I'd like to see him, you know, tighten it up just a little bit in these coming years just to save the race, because I don't want to see it, you know, decrease in car count and fan draw. But it's also, I mean, Chili Bowl, a lot of people go there to race, not, you know, not to win. They just want to be a part of it. And, you know, I don't know. It's just such a cool race. I just like to keep it where it's at right now and not, you know, go the other way on it.
And where are your, what's your plan for the Chili Bowl right now? Are you going to be driving for the team you're driving right now, or do you have a ride lined up for Tulsa?
Yeah, I'm going to go there with the same car that I've been running all year. And, you know, we're already kind of working on a few things for Chili Bowl as far as, you know, like you said, like a few one-off things to put on the race car. And, you know, we're looking forward to that. And it's cool for us because, you know, we're a small team and last year we ran pretty successfully, and we're looking forward to go back there and try to put it in the A-Main this year.
And, of course, it's getting to be close to trade show season, and a lot of people are already lining up plans for next year. What does Ronnie Gardner have lined up for 2014 as of right now?
Right now, it's quite a bit of midget stuff. We're probably not going to run too much, you know, in the early months of next year, because our plan is to, you know, take a couple 68 cars back to Power Ride Midget Week and USAC Midget Week and do that for a couple weeks. So we'll probably only run 5 or 6 shows leading up to June. But I also got my own sprint car that I put together at the end of this year. So I'll probably run that, you know, 10 to 15 shows next year, mostly at Paris and maybe a few other places. So that's what I got going on at the moment.
How much are you looking forward to coming back to the Midwest with your midget team? Because I know you've taken trips out with the family and seen the race car out here and stuff, but how much are you looking forward to taking a top flight midget car out here to run those two races or two series?
Oh, it's huge. You know, cause growing up, you know, I pretty much grew up in Indy. You know, I was born here, but I moved there when I was 4 and I grew up in Speedway, Indiana, all the way until I was about 15 years old, and then we moved back out here. But just being able to run, you know, in front of family that I don't usually get to run, you know, run in front of them. They've never even seen me race. And, you know, and just the competition and the experience, you know, the midget weeks, you know, 5 races and 5 nights, it's grueling, but it's also a lot of fun. And, you know, we're looking forward to that and, you know, see if we can't, you know, take a West Coast team and be successful, because the last 5 or 6 years, it's been hard for a West Coast team, sprint car or midget, to come out east and you know, put up some results. So that we're looking forward to trying to do that.
And, of course, I'm sure you have some people to thank that made this year possible as well.
Oh, yeah, Mitchell Johnson, you know, my car owner. It's funny because, you know, you walk into my trailer and, you know, if somebody's looking for the owner, you know, they go straight to his dad. But Mitchell, he's only 25 years old, and he owns a midget, and I think that's pretty cool. And his dad, Walton, and their family has been huge, you know, huge with support and, you know, everything else. And Frank Baldozer, he's our main sponsor on the midget, and Esslinger Engineering, you know, has helped us out quite a bit this year too, getting, you know, good motor package together. And you know, CSI Shocks, you know, Garrett and AJ down there, they're always, you know, they always get stuff back to us, you know, when we need it in a crunch, and that's cool to have that support. And Schroeder Torsion Bars and Cam2 Racing, well, those are our sponsors, and they do, you know, tons for us because we're a small team. We roll into the racetrack in an open trailer, so, you know, we just try to spend the money on where it, you know, makes the car go fast.
I was going to say, the trailer doesn't make it win, so there you go.
No, you can't. You can't race a trailer, that's for sure.
All right. Well, Ronnie, we wish you the best of luck. And I know you're with your racing family and everything, and you're well aware of tradition. We got to get you off 13 wins. That's just not good karma. So maybe it's destiny you win at Paris on Thursday.
Oh, that'd be great. And, yeah, lucky number 13 is not so lucky in the racing world. So we'd like to put 14 and, you know, to win Turkey Night. I know that would that would, you know, make my car owner so happy. He grew up, you know, watching midget racing. So we're going to give it what we got and, you know, just go out there and do the best we can and, you know, just try to put up a good result and run with those guys. That's the goal.
Well, Ronnie, best of luck, and we'll talk to you hopefully relatively soon if it's a turkey night win. But if not, we'll probably talk to you again before the big trip out to the Midwest.
Cool. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. It's Ronnie Gardner, one of the winningest midget drivers in the country this season. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Clinton Jeffries is going to come on. We're going to talk about some of the changes in Super Dirt Week. You're listening to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oschwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OschweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488. If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season. Featuring the Corpax Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit oshweganspeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here at racesontheweb.com. My next guest announces over at the Oshwegan Speedway. He's been a pit reporter for various dirt motorsports events. He's done a little bit of everything over the years, and including riding on the back of the crash crew as they head to the accident scene to give us reports live on the racetrack. Clinton Jeffrey joining us, and it's great to have you on, Clinton. We haven't had you on the show yet, and I think it's been long overdue.
Thanks, TJ. Great to be on. Always great to talk racing, especially in the off season.
Now, one neat thing that was announced last week is that the USAC SilverCon cars are coming back to the New York State Fairgrounds as part of Super Dirt Week. And it's been over 10 years since they've been there. And for a lot of USAC fans, they might not realize that Super Dirt Week has actually seen a little bit of renaissance over the past few years. What has kind of brought back the excitement to Super Dirt Week over the past few years?
You know, I think I've equated it to just like anything, any type of racing or any sport. It kind of goes in peaks and valleys. And I mean, I've been going there for about 20 years now. And when I started to go there, it was a huge party, tons of people. And then you kind of seen it lulled off for a little bit. And now I think the younger generation, if you will, the next generation of good timers or partiers have come into the sport. And it's really propelled that week into, as they call it, the best party on dirt. It's really come in, and the celebration of being together with your friends and the camaraderie aspect of it has really picked up in the recent years. That's the biggest thing I can see.
And they've done some things to the format, too. They've brought in lights and done some of the night racing and stuff. And do you think some of the format changes at the mile have also helped with this? Or maybe have some of the support events around Super Dirt Week, because if you've never been there, they race during the day at the fairgrounds, but it seems like there's a race almost going almost every night at a different racetrack surrounding it. Is it the support events around it have gotten stronger, or has the mile program itself become a bit more strong?
I think the mile program itself has become stronger, and it really started about 5 years ago when they started to do, they called it futures races. So if you had no experience in your particular division on the mile, you were eligible for an extra feature for just first-timers, if you almost a rookie race. And that helped get a lot of guys some extra time on a track that is kind of treacherous if you're new to it and not experienced. You can really be, you know, you can really out-nerve yourself. So the more seat time there is very, very critical. But I think Dirt Car and, you know, the World Racing Group have really done a good job in the past 5 years. Like you mentioned, bringing the Musco lighting at night. You know, whenever you take a daytime race and put it under the lights, whether you're talking NASCAR, dirt, local asphalt, we've all seen it just kind of ramps up the excitement a little bit. And that's really brought those qualifying races on Friday night at Super Dirt Week into a great show.
And now the addition of the SilverCon cars on Saturday, what are you hearing from the East Coast fans with bringing back USAC to Syracuse? I know around here in USAC country, people are excited to see another race on the SilverCon calendar, especially another mile dirt race. But what's been the reception from some of the East Coast fans and modified fans that the SilverCon cars are coming back to Syracuse?
Well, I think with a lot of those guys, TJ, what they're seeing is those were kind of the ghost off in the distance, if you will, because we don't get to see that kind of racing. It very rarely comes to the Northeast territory where we are, which is, you know, not really the Midwest, I guess, what you would be considered, but the Northeast, we don't get to see USAC cars, and especially to see a car that's bred for the mile, if you will. You know, I don't think the modifieds, they've sort of evolved to be on the mile, but Silver Crown cars are basically, you know, they're made for this type of one-mile dirt track, and to see the way they handle it, it is really awesome. And before I forget, one thing I was looking up today, my brother Mikey Kretschke, the sprint car driver, he put an in-car camera on Chad Kemena's car for some hot laps about 5 years ago. And if you go to YouTube and Google or search on YouTube Syracuse Mile or World of Outlaws on the Syracuse Mile, it's a Chad Kemena in-car, and you get a real good look at what the Syracuse Mile is. It's a nasty old track. There's treacherous potholes, and it's not going to be a cakewalk for these guys, but I encourage you to check out that video. It'll give you a great visual of what the guys are going to be facing on that day.
Well, it's good to hear that fans are kind of looking forward to this. Like you said, for you guys, it's something different. It's just like when the modifieds have come to Michigan a couple of times. You know, we don't get to see the dirt modifieds unless we drive all the way to Pennsylvania or Ontario or something. So it's almost got a little bit foreign. You have to go check it out. And hopefully fans will feel that way in the New York area and Ontario and everywhere that are coming for Super Dirt Week.
I mean, last time they raced there, J.J. Ailey was in the field, put on a great show. So, you know, there's lots of big stars in USAC that we never really get to see. So to see them come over and deal with the miles should be great. I think whenever we get these types of outside shows, we're all excited to see, could one of our guys maybe pick up a USAC ride? And that would really get our modified country really pumped up about the event. But I think it's also an event where all the participants can kind of take a back seat and watch. You know, nobody there has a horse in that field except for the USAC guys coming in. So it's going to be a chance for our guys to maybe take a breather on a crazy week and just enjoy some racing.
And other than the big event on Sunday, the 50,000 to win modified race, what other super dirt week race would you recommend a USAC fan taking in if they were coming in for the weekend? Because there's a whole week of racing. Is there one of the side events you would recommend someone taking in when they came to super dirt week?
You know, I got to say, one of the races that always seems to stand out and put on an amazing show is the Sunday morning pro stock race. It has just been so exciting for these guys who only get to see the mile once a year put on just amazing show. And I think it has a lot to do with the parity and the bodies of the cars, the chassis, and the engines are all so close that it becomes such a chess match as far as where you're going to put your car. The Friday night qualifying race is under the lights, where they break the field up into triples, and they have, three qualifying races for each division. It's exciting. Really, really a wild race under the lights on the mile.
And if I haven't been to Syracuse, do you have any advice for a first-time spectator, something, a little trade secret, and maybe about going to the mile, maybe where to park, or maybe some little spectator experience tip that might make your visit to the mile the first time a little bit better?
I think just the spectacle of how big the track is and the actual amount of campers and partiers, if there's any way you can take it in, the full experience by camping, getting your weekly pass, and just enjoying the whole deal, because it's such a great atmosphere and the fans really take you in. That's the best thing I can take away from it, is all the great people I meet that I only get to see really once a year, but it almost feels like they're family, and that's the best thing I'd say. If you can take it in, the other advice I've got is dress warm. It's got to be one of the coldest weeks ever, and even when it's hot and sunny down the track, those big old grandstands of the fairgrounds are chilly. So I suggest snow pants and warm and lots of blankets to enjoy, and maybe a set of binoculars too, TJ, because when you look at how big the track is, you're really looking quite a ways down when you look across to the backstretch. So a set of binoculars and dress warm, that would be my suggestion.
And Clinton Jeffries is suggesting that ice fishing gear might be appropriate for Super Dirt Week. Let's turn our focus for a second. Oshwegan Speedway announced their new crate sprint car class, and I was just actually on a show explaining this on Thursday, and you're kind of on the front lines because you talked to a lot of the racers in the Ontario area. What are you hearing reaction to the new sprint car support division at Oshwegan?
It's really starting to boom. I got to tell you, when we had our meeting about a month and a half ago, Glenn said, you know, we've done enough testing, we're ready to do it. And then we all agreed as a group at that meeting, well, let's just jump off the cliff and announce we're going to go with the division. And we are prepared to run it maybe every second week at the end of the night with 5-6 racers and try to build it from there. But I'm pretty sure, I'm not speaking online to say we're looking at 15 cars, probably minimum to start, and we're looking at giving them a weekly show at the end of the night for the start to build up, and when they start getting full fields, then we'll start messing around with the schedule a bit. But I think it's really taken off, and the biggest thing I can say is I've got outside guys. So guys I've been saying that are not really on my radar. We start emailing a guy back and forth, and I said, so, you know, I don't recognize your name. Where are you from? And he said, well, we've been racing on pavement, Hurricane Midgets. My kid's 17 now, and we've been to the track enough to see that we want to go sprint cars, but it's too big of a jump to take this kid from go-karts to full-fledged 360s and expect them to fight it out with the Glenn Steyers, the Dane Nidas, and that of the world. You know, it's just too much. So this crate is a perfect option for them. They've bought a used complete roller for $4,500, and the whole engine package is going to be under six, so that's a ballpark, but right around that. So they're looking right around 10 grand to have a competitive car with a brand new engine and get the kid started at 17. So there's a little bit of buzz on both sides, though. You know, we're real excited about all the guys who've jumped up. A bunch of our mini stock and street stock guys have shown the jump. And the big thing there, TJ, is you've got such a big jump between at Oshwegan, you go bombers, mini stock, street stock, and then all the way to 360s. It's just too much of a jump. So this sportsman class, we're hoping, is going to bridge the gap, get some guys doing some sprint car setup and preparation, and prepare them to drop the 360 in and go after it with the SOD or ESS Patriot or the Oshwegan series, whatever you want. And I think that's really going to be a great bonus for us. The downside to it is possibly, are we going to lose a couple of 360 cars who may backslide into that? Yeah, I think some of the guys who are maybe circling the drain, if you will, with the 360s who are just kind of hanging on by their last couple of bucks, you might see a couple of them guys go down. You know, some of the guys who are maybe have an engine build coming up and don't want to drop 10 to 15 on a rebuild for a 360 may say, hey, I can get a complete new engine for $6,000-$7,000 and, you know, take my experience and go at it. So it's kind of a wait and see, but nothing but a positive buzz. Everybody's looking to jump into the crate sprint car pool, it looks like.
And one difference for you guys, I was trying to explain to some other people, is we don't have a lot of crate racing on dirt here, but you guys in the East Coast do have quite a bit of it taking place, it seems like, whether it's Sportsman or Pro Stock or even on your asphalt classes. It seems like the engine is much more prominent on the East Coast.
Yeah, well, see, that was the other thing. Everybody says, why won't you go 305 sprints like they're doing in other places? And I just think with the crates, we've seen it run in the dirt car Sportsman division. It's the 602 part number for GM crate. Some of the late models run the 604 crate, which is about $2,000 more, I think, if I'm not speaking out of turn. But we chose the lower priced option, and I think it has really... What I've seen it do on the Dirt Sportsman is 10 years ago, it was all guys my age and up, 40, 45, 50-year-old men who were the only ones who were going to drop $20,000 on a Sportsman engine when we were running what we called at that time open Sportsman engines. Then when you go to crates, I've really seen the age drop down to 15, 16-year-old kids getting in division, 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds, where families are willing to invest that money in the kid. And I've really seen the average age of the Sportsman division come down around here. It's the strongest division by far at Merrittville-Humberstone. We've got 28 cars trying to get into 24 spots virtually every week at both tracks. I mean, it's a success, and the engine is basically a throwaway piece at $4,000. You know, we've got it priced out now. If you're running the dirt car Sportsman, you don't need to do any of the sprint car upgrades to run. So your base engine, you can pick that up for $3,500 Canadian right now. Your complete power plant, and run that for 3 years. Where are you going to get a price, a deal like that on an engine anywhere in any racing? You know what I mean? Yeah. And you can race that three nights a week and on the Super Dirt Car Series and at Super Dirt Week if you want.
That's a pretty,
all for $3,000. It's crazy, you know?
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal, and it makes for an easy choice. Well, Clinton, thank you for offering us some insight on Super Dirt Week and some of the things coming up at Oshwegan, and I'm sure we'll talk to you as the season gets closer for Oshwegan and as the schedules start coming out.
I'd love to hear from you. Call me anytime, and if you ever want to chat about anything.
All right, Clinton Jeffrey joining us on the line, and I've known Clinton for a very long time, and through working at Oshwegan Speedway when I was announcing with Saad and with the Canadian Nationals, he does a great job, and all the guys over there at Dirt Track Digest just knock it out of the park with the modified coverage. So if you're interested in finding out more about Super Dirt Week, hook up with them, and they'll be able to get you more information. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the breaking news out of Silver Dollar Speedway today, a new five-year promotional agreement signed. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. And we have some breaking news today out of the racing world as we'll cue up our breaking news music out in the background. 5-year agreement for Dennis Gage and everyone at the Silver Dollar Speedway. So we brought on a gentleman that I've actually been receiving his press releases and stuff for over a decade. This is the first time we've ever spoke. So Troy Hennig, welcome to the show. And first of all, thank you for about a decade of very timely press releases from the Silver Dollar Speedway. And it's nice to finally speak to you.
It's great to talk to you also, TJ. And when you and I first started emailing each other, it was realistically a point in my life when some of my deadlines weren't really until Sunday night, because we had a West Coast newspaper that was kind of the national speed sport for us. It was called Racing Wheels, and their deadline was Sunday night. So I remember, that used to be my deadline, and now it's like 20 minutes after the races are over, people are complaining if they don't have the results up on our website. So things have dramatically changed.
Yeah, who are you telling? I'm at the racetrack. I literally have a story about literally typing up a press release one time in the parking lot of a McDonald's in Lake City, Michigan, because it was the only Wi-Fi I was going to have for about 2 hours. But good news today, though. A five-year agreement for Dennis Gage and everyone over there at Silver Dollar Speedway. So you guys are going to be over there for quite a while, it sounds like.
To get you caught up to what we had done, after John and Robbie Padgett had stepped down as promoters, their son Alan Handy kind of came in, and Alan, for back reference, promoter at Placerville Speedway for many years and worked for his parents. Well, naturally, Alan took over Chico when John and Robbie stepped down, and he ran Placerville and Chico, and he had signed five-year agreements. Well, after the second year of promoting Silver Dollar Speedway in Chico, Alan had kind of had enough, and things weren't going falling the right way for Alan. And he contacted Dennis Gage, who at the time had been running an asphalt track, which is located in Roseville, which is near Sacramento, California. And Dennis used to be the announcer at Silver Dollar Speedway. So the long-winded story is, after the second year, Alan came to Dennis, and they made an agreement where Dennis came in as the new promoter. And he actually promoted the last 3 years of our existence up at Silver Dollar Speedway. So that was a five-year deal. So last year, we were working on the last year of the five-year deal, and that was kind of the big hubbub, was Dennis going to come back and re-sign? And to tell you the truth, I didn't know he had made an agreement with our fair board, our fair manager, Scott Stoller, until our end-of-the-year awards banquet, which was November 9th. So I just found out kind of last minute too, and Dennis and I talked about how we wanted to handle the release, and we wanted to give it some time after our banquet to tell everyone. So I did put that out there today, and we are solid for five more years, which I could talk about in a little bit, but things on the weekly promotion fronts are very hard in grassroots racing nowadays.
And I was going to ask you, how are things going at Silver Dollar weekly wise, crowd wise and stuff? Are it seems to be a feast or famine business. A lot of the good tracks are still going strong. Some of them are struggling a little bit. Where do you gauge Silver Dollar's success at this point?
Well, a lot of our, we were down for a while, and a lot of people, as with everyone, blamed it on the economy. And, there's some merit to that, but realistically, you got to get out there and just find new ways to bring in the fans. And, luckily Dennis is pretty open with me the last 3 years, and we've done some, crazy promotions. We've done a zip code promotion where certain zip codes around Chico would buy one ticket, get one half off if you brought in your driver's license. We've done a lot of unique marketing where we've gone to farmers markets in Chico are pretty popular, and we did that. And we did Little League baseball games this year. We heavily did that to give away some free tickets. But we're on the upswing, and I think that's why Dennis, I think after the first 2 years of Dennis doing this, he was said, all right, this will be my last year. But this third year, this past year, 2013, has been really good for us. Car counts have improved. The crowd has come back. We had a really successful Gold Cup this year, and I think that this year was the reason that he decided, okay, I think we can survive for five more years. But it's a lot of hard work, and honestly, it's a lot of nitpicking. The dentist, he has to really order a certain amount of food on Friday night for the concessions. We've got to bring in the right amount of staff. You don't want to overstaff because you can't afford the hours. We survive on a lot of volunteer work too, believe me. So it's totally changed. The business has completely changed, even when I started 12 years ago, watching, how John and Robbie and how they ran the business compared to where we are now.
And as far as your weekly program, where do you see that headed during this five-year agreement? Are you going to keep the core classes in rotation like you have over the past several seasons? Might we see some other classes come into the mix at Silver Dollar?
Yeah, great question. When I took over, we had about four main divisions through the early to mid 2000s. And then as those car counts started to dwindle, we brought in new divisions. And this year we crowned a record 8 different champions during our Friday night series. So we have 8 different divisions now. As far as I've been told, those 8 divisions will be back next year. The promoter's workshop is in a couple weeks up in Reno, Nevada. And realistically, about middle of December, I'll have a good understanding after when Dennis goes up there and talks to the promoters what our schedule looks like and, you know, what divisions we're going to have. But, you know, TJ, if you're not too, you know, caught up to date on it, we have the winged 410 sprint cars. We do dirt modifieds. We do wingless sprint cars. They're called spec sprint cars. We do the street stocks. We do mini stocks. We do the limited late models. Dennis Gage brought in a new division called the winged economy division. Basically, it's like a economy sprint with a top wing on it. And we've just got so many different divisions now that some people are like, well, you're diluting the product. But what Dennis has kind of figured out is to get more divisions, you're branching out to other people that, let's say, can't afford to race a winged 410 sprint car, but they can race the winged economy division and allows them to keep racing with us at Silver Dollar Speedway. So to answer your question, we do have a lot of divisions. We run on Friday nights. We don't run all eight every Friday night, mind you. Obviously, we run four or five different divisions every Friday night. It's a lot of racing. We still do a pretty valuable ticket. It's just $13 to get in for an adult, which I think is a pretty good price living out here in California.
And that economy sprint division, I did notice that hit my radar this year. Is that just a winged version of the spec sprint, or is that a little bit different than what we see in the wingless sprint spec sprint division?
You know, it's kind of the same theory. They're self-starting, just like the non-wing spec sprints. You know, they got a weight rule. It's basically a lot of the guys that race in the winged economy division have, you know, 5 to 8 year old chassis, sprint car chassis that have been outdated for the winged 410s or 360, you know, stuff out here. But Civil War series, the King of the West series, but for a Friday night local sprint car division, still good stuff. And it's just totally geared for the guy that, you know, heaven forbid, the wing 360s out here are still kind of the second division to the 410s, but, you know, you've got to have $25,000 to $35,000 just to break into a, you know, an operation to get a wing 360, where, gosh, a winged economy car, you could probably get one race ready for $8,500, you know what I'm saying? So it's still geared to the guy that wants to be a sprint car driver but can't afford to move up to the wing 360s or 410s out here.
And you guys have changed the lineup a little bit on your Gold Cup, your biggest race of the year.
Yeah.
You guys announcing that is going to be, I believe, four nights again this year. You've mixed it up with different divisions and stuff. That you indicated that has been working for you. Do you see that continuing into the future, maybe different divisions being mixed into the Gold Cup weekend, or have you guys maybe hit on something to where it's kind of triggered that event a little bit?
Boy, great question. You are a smart guy, TJ. No wonder I like you. Because you've noticed that. You know, the Gold Cup Race of Champions traditionally was, you know, four nights of racing, three of them being World of Outlaw nights. Well, a couple of years ago when the Outlaw switched to Goodyear tires, it really killed our local car count because we had California staying true to Hoosier tires. So many years ago when they went to Goodyear, the Gold Cup, really dramatically the car count dropped. We used to get traditionally 100 to over 100 cars for the three nights. Once that dropped to about 50 cars, that cut right in half, we had to come up with a new formula. And the formula was, you know, do our normal Wednesday night, which is always the California Sprint Car Civil War Series 360, and we ran the spec sprints, but what do you do on Thursday nights? Because we really didn't have enough cars to do three nights of racing. And over the years, since we've made these changes, 2 years ago, we tried to go back to the three nights of World of Outlaw Racing, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and financially, it just never worked for us. It was kind of a loser deal. We just couldn't get enough people to show up on Thursday to justify the World of Outlaw, you know, sanction fees and the purse. So last year we went back to a kind of a unique show on Thursday. It was our 60th Gold Cup. We did a kind of a traditional cavalcade of sports where we had the dwarf cars, and we brought in modifieds, and we brought in some BCRA midgets and USAC midgets, non-wing sprint cars. We kind of went like old school traditional stuff on a Thursday night, and it really worked for the fans. They really enjoyed seeing the diverse four nights of racing. In fact, on Saturday of this year's Gold Cup, we have more people request their ticket orders for 2014 than we've ever had. So that was a good sign. That showed Dennis even then, like, I think that's what also convinced him to come back, was the positivity of our Gold Cup and what people thought about it. Now, the dilemma is this year, what do we do? Because it's now the 61st Gold Cup. We're, we really hit hard on that 60th annual theme last year. We did a Gold Cup museum. We brought in some old Gold Cup winners and did autographs. And so to answer your question, we're really kind of beating our head against the wall. We're not sure what we're going to do on that Thursday night yet. We know it's going to be a four-night Gold Cup. The Outlaws will be there Friday and Saturday. Wednesday we'll do the Civil War and the Spec Sprints. But if you have any ideas, let us know. We'd love to know what you think, PJ. You're a smart guy. What should we do on Thursday nights, my friend?
Well, I'm if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of guy. You know, I think the program we did last year must have worked. I heard a lot of buzz about the non-wing program, and it went pretty well. Yep. So the one thing I would hesitate offering my opinion on that is because I'm not as in tune with the culture, the racing culture there as much as you guys are.
Gotcha.
So that's that's the one point what I hesitate at. I might notice these things, but I'm not feet on the ground in California, though I wish I was, which kind of brings me to my next question. You, unlike a lot of people we talk to, you live in a pretty mild climate. I mean, you guys get cool in the winter, but not like, I mean, it's snowing here today. There's 4 inches of snow on the ground.
Do you want to know what I wore today? What I'm wearing right now?
Probably not.
Flip-flops and shorts, baby.
Yeah, well, we've got 4 inches of snow. I could wear those things, but I wouldn't wear them outside at this point. But what different challenges does that offer a racetrack? Because it's so nice. I mean, you guys have such beautiful weather. You'd think outdoor things might be an advantage, but in a way it's not because you're competing with maybe a lot more outside things than maybe a racetrack is over here.
I definitely agree with you. I think that's been one of the stigmas of California. There's so much to do that I think sometimes we get pigeonholed as maybe not a hotbed of sprint car racing. But, you know, in Chico, the one thing that we really have to really struggle with is actually summer months because it gets so darn hot here in July and August, you know, and we don't get the humidity you guys, you know, do, but we get... Gosh, I mean, we had the July 4th race this year, got up to 113 degrees, and we were scared to death because of, you know, I didn't even want to go out in that kind of heat. You know, I had to be there to work, so we were really worried about our crowd. What we ended up doing was running some late commercials and saying, hey, we're going to offer free water and ice and these coolies you can wear around your neck. So our biggest struggle, racing-wise, is the heat. And that does keep people away in the summer. July and August can be very miserable in Chico, California. It's not fun. However, like you're saying, though, it gets so hot that most people want to end up at the lake or Lake Oroville is nearby, or you want to go up to Tahoe, which is one of the most beautiful places you can be. So we do have a lot of choices to do. You know, what Dennis and I have really understood the last 3 years, TJ, is we're dealing with a fan base that's about 40 to 50 miles outskirts of Chico, and that's it. We don't get many people from Sacramento anymore. We get some people from a town called Redding, which is about an hour and 25-minute drive away, but we are really concentrated on upping our advertising for the Chico area on the outskirts of Chico. Things have changed. We just don't get the San Jose crowd anymore. We don't get Bay Area crowd. We don't get Sacramento much, Stockton. It just seems like that is our biggest struggle. So what we've done is we've really hit it hard locally and seemed to help. Our local people that come to the races has gone up almost 35% in the last 3 years. So whether it's the advertising, maybe the good work, you know, the word of mouth, that the traction will good and people having fun, maybe that helps too. But just like anything, there's always going to be challenges and we do our best. We run TV commercials. We do the radio. We do the newspaper. You know, I'm 40 years old. I'm kind of, you know, I do the social media thing, but there's a lot of younger kids out there that do a way better job than I do. And I think we could utilize social media a lot better. And I brought in some people like PJ Peterson and a kid named Elijah Jones to help me out this year and have them kind of, you know, set us a little bit straighter on Twitter and Facebook. And that helps a lot. I'm sure that helps you too. I know you're on Twitter, and I follow you.
Yeah, we the social media thing, it's amazing how much traffic that drives now. I mean, it drives a lot of traffic for us, too, and it's as good. In fact, we're doing not to give away the punchline, but later this winter, we're going to be doing a whole social media show with experts on social media and stuff and the do's and don'ts about that, and it's just kind of a rehash of something we did at Knoxville that I think a lot of people will be interested in. But one other thing I wanted to hit on before we left, though, is you did announce some other race dates. Your Silver Cup's going to kick off off the season March 7th and 8th. And then an event that kind of has come and gone is the Mini Gold Cup. And that one is back again. That event has, like I said, it's come and gone. It's seen different things at it. How is the health of that event now that it's back in World of Outlaw form as a single-day format in the spring?
Yeah. Great question. When the Outlaws originated the Mini Gold Cup in the late 80s, and it was a two-day show, and John and Robbie Padgett once again started that. And then another issue with Chico, as with all places, but March, the weather out here is very unpredictable, and you get a lot of rainouts in March. So what has happened is over the last couple of years, the Outlaws have teamed up with the Speedway, and we've kind of promoted it together. And it helps take some of the risk out of it. As a promoter, if you go in and spend thousands of advertising dollars and get your food bought and get your staff hired, and then it rains out, it can be a real stinker, to start your year. You could be way thousands of dollars in debt before your even season starts. So what we've done to counteract that is the Outlaws and us have agreed, I think this is the second year we've done it now, but just to do a one-day show at Chico. The Outlaws will be out in California, I think, for 6 weeks again. So they'll be all up and down California. In fact, the Friday night, the 28th of March, they'll be at Merced, which is about a three-hour drive back up to Chico. We'll have them on Saturday night. You know, there's pros and cons to it. There's some people that think we should just do a local, Mini Gold Cup, and they did that too for many years. John and Robbie just used to make it a big money race and kind of have the Golden State King of California series, the highlight of the Mini Gold Cup, and then people kind of said, well, we don't get to see Outlaws enough and Gold Cup isn't enough, so you bring back the Outlaws. And some of them were financially, good, some of them not so good. The biggest risk, once again, is the weather. And I think that's why, TJ, to do a two-day World of Outlaws show in March is very risky if you're a promoter on your own. And, I think the way that the California Swing has been set up this year, I think it's smart. Most of the tracks have one-day shows. I know Calistoga, I think, is taking on 2 days in April, and they haven't been to Calistoga in a couple of years, so that's smart. People are excited to get the Outlaws back to Calistoga. But, it's just something where March is tricky. Even in early April, things can be very tricky in California, Northern California, with rain. And that's basically what it is. That's why we went to one night with the Outlaws. And, it's a great group to work with. I talked to Megan quite a bit at the World Racing Group. I have a lot of good friends there, and they're excited to come out. We've been emailing each other ideas already on how to promote. And I'm glad you caught that in the release, because that was one of the reasons is try to spread the word early to get people to buy tickets at the World of Outlaws World Racing Group website, because they'll be handling the tickets again for us, and they've done that now a couple of years in a row.
And are tickets on sale for Silver Cup, Gold Cup, Mini Gold Cup right now?
Great question. Gold Cup it is. Our 2014 Gold Cup tickets went on sale October 14th, so about a month ago. But every other event is basically kind of a first come, first serve, TJ. We kind of open our gates at 5 or 6 o'clock at night, depending on what event, and people can get there upwards about 2 p.m. to buy their tickets. So, yeah, the only ones we really reserve tickets for are the Mini Gold Cup through the World Racing Group, World of Outlaws, and the Gold Cup. Everything else is kind of a stand in line, get chalk out and write your name and on the line and save your spot and come back and we'll open up and get your tickets.
And if people want more information about Silver Dollar Speedway, where can they find it?
Well, obviously our website's pretty cool, silverdollarspeedway.com. I update the Facebook, page. If you're on Facebook, you can like the Silver Dollar Speedway. But probably the best way to get a hold of us is the old-fashioned phone. Area code 530-350-7275. Dennis Gage and his wife Sandy Gage are in the office Monday through Thursday about 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at night, and that's still probably the best way to get a hold of them. And off our website there are some email contacts if you do want to email us. But this will be my 15th year behind the microphone at Silver Dollar Speedway. It's a great place to be. Before I started announcing, I wasn't married, didn't have kids. Now I'm married. I've got two beautiful daughters, 8 and 5 years old. They love the races. They wear their race shirts. They can't wait to go root on guys like Andy Forsberg and Sean Becker and Kyle Hurst. And they've all befriended us. And it's my big extended family. I'm so blessed and lucky to have not only my family, my mom and dad, my wife's parents, and our kids, but I'm so loved by all the racing people in the sprint car world. I don't know where else I'd rather be, honestly, TJ. So I'm very lucky, the position I'm in. I've been happy.
Well, that's great news, Troy. I'm glad you guys are going to be there for 5 more years, and look forward to seeing, probably talking again once the full schedule comes out.
That'd be great. I'm available all the time, and it's really good talking to you. And, you know, talking with you in November makes me already excited for March when we start. Can't wait for it to get here now.
You and me both. So that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. On behalf of everyone here at the Engine Pro Studios, we'll be back here again next Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.